It is a love story, troubled and tense to be sure, yet an elopement by bride and groom to the desert where they can be alone together, far out of sight of prying eyes and the distractions of civilizations. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah Episode 104, Chametz, Matzah, and the Journey of Love. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
Let us begin by looking today at a painting by the 19th century German Jewish artist Moritz Daniel Oppenheim. Ostensibly, it is a standard Seder scene. But when we look carefully, several aspects of the painting stand out. First, there is an empty chair at the table, with a carved heart at the very back of said object. Second, one of the individuals is not like the others. While most are attired in the style of German Jews, there is apparently a guest at this Seder meal who is attired in the manner of Jews from Eastern Europe. What is going on? The artist and writer Richard McBee analyzes the painting as follows. Quote, "The subject is the beginning of the Passover Seder, since on the table there are only the Haggadahs, the wine cups, Elijah's cup, and the Passover plate, and not the Yom Tov meal. The father, centrally placed and well-lit, is dressed in a kittel, appropriate for the evening. We see behind him and to the left four bottles of wine, one partially reduced in quantity. The first cup has been poured, Kiddush has been recited, and the telling has begun. The mother reassures her grown daughter by holding her hand, as the daughter lowers her eyes modestly and gazes into the Haggadah before her. Two younger boys are listening on the right and observing the unfolding drama, not necessarily of the Exodus, but rather of a prospective match for their older sister. A dark mystery guest in the foreground, sitting with his back to us, fuels the entire scene. He is in Hasidic garb and seems engaged in conversation with the father directly across the table. It was common for 18th century German Jews to hire Eastern European Hasidim as religious tutors for their children. On our side of the table, opposite the mother and her daughter, there is an empty chair with a heart-shaped design in the middle of the carved back. At the very least, there are two stories unfolding this evening." End quote. What McBee means is that as Oppenheim is giving us a painting made in the 19th century of Jews observing Pesach in the 18th, he is also looking to add another plot. McBee further notes how the artist aesthetically arranges the Seder participants, increasing the drama of the story that he is telling. Quote, "McBee has set the Seder in the rather shallow space of a small room illuminated by a traditional hanging oil Shabbos lamp. The family figures are uniformly lit in a horizontal frieze, with the exception of the white-on-white kittel of the father and the dark silhouetted foreground figure. The composition is focused on the middle third of the painting with a band of light across the center. While on the right the curtains take us to the right top of the painting, the rest of the top and the entire bottom of the painting have almost no visual interest. What the artist has done is to take the occasion of the Seder as an excuse to tell us another story. He is in fact quite skillful and subtle in his subterfuge of the Passover Seder. The father, his sons, and the guest form a male trilogy on the right side of the painting. Whatever their differences in age, attire, or religiosity, they form a cohesive visual group. On the left are the mother and her blushing daughter with the empty love chair in front of them, waiting to be filled by the guest as a hoped-for future husband and son-in-law." End quote. In other words, the artist is joining religion and romance, a Seder scene and a Shidduch scene, an episode in matchmaking. But why? Why would Oppenheim choose to emphasize an element of romance as he is depicting the Seder? The answer, I would suggest, is that Pesach itself, the festival of the Exodus, marks a moment in Jewish history that the prophets describe as a marital journey. Thus, Jeremiah, "Zacharti lachesed nurayach avat klulotayach." I remember the loving loyalty of your youth. This is God speaking to Israel. Your marital love or your bridal love, lechtecha charei bamidbar be'eretz lo zeruah, that you went after me into the wilderness, into an unsown land. This notion of the Exodus as a journey of love, as a wedding journey, is linked to a lovely thought expressed by the famous mystic known as Ari HaKadosh, who pondered the fact that the 7-day festival of freedom is titled by the Bible Chag HaMatzot, the holiday of unleavened bread, even as Jews, in traditional parlance, tend to apply a different name to these days, Pesach, referring to the miracle of the salvation of Israel during the plague of the firstborn. The point, as I believe I've seen it cited from Ari HaKadosh, is that These two titles, these two diverse appellations, one stated by God in the Torah, the other applied by God's covenant people, reflect a reciprocal, romantic relationship. The Jewish people emphasize what God did on behalf of his people, protecting us during the final plague, whereas God celebrates what we did, the courage that we reflected and the love that we reflected at the moment of freedom. We went out into the wilderness with nothing but matzah, bread that was imperfectly prepared, a symbol, as we said before, of a journey of faith, and therefore also of a journey of love. With this in mind, we ponder our mitzvah for the day, which is the absolute prohibition against eating any chametz, leavened food. This is the only example in Jewish law of a food that is usually not only permitted, but is at the epicenter of our celebrations, suddenly, essentially, entirely forbidden for a series of 7, or outside the land of Israel, 8 days. And the point, perhaps, is that it is during these days that we emphasize the food that symbolizes the marital journey that we took. If Appenheim seeks to emphasize, amidst a Seder setting, the coming into being of a marriage, it is because we utilize marital language to describe Pesach. Indeed, it is a widespread Jewish tradition to read on Pesach the Song of Songs, with its romantic poetry, a metaphor for the loving relationship between God and his people. As Rabbi Sachs put it, quote, "The message of Hosea, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah is that the Exodus was more than a theological drama about the defeat of false gods by the true one, or a political narrative about slavery and freedom. It is a love story, troubled and tense to be sure, yet an elopement by bride and groom to the desert where they can be alone together, far out of sight of prying eyes and the distractions of civilizations. That," he continues, "is the theme of the Song of Songs. Like God summoning his people out of Egypt, the lover in the song calls on his beloved, 'Come, let us leave.' The beloved herself says, 'Come, draw me after you, let us run.' Then, in an image of extraordinary poignancy, we see the two of them emerging together from the wilderness. Who is this rising from the desert, leaning on her beloved?" End quote. Oppenheim's painting, joining religion and romance, captures the spirit of Chag HaMatzot itself and allows us to understand why it is only the festival of matzah and can never involve chametz, a festival that marks the beginning of a marriage, of a covenantal connection that continues to this day. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.